Stay tuned with us here, and we'll be on for the next hour, so pull up a good easy chair, get your Bible. We're going to go into a lot of scriptural content tonight, and we hope and trust that Yahweh will bless your understanding and your hearing, because the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? So faith comes by hearing, and we hope that we can build up your most holy faith in the mighty name of Yahweh tonight with the evidence in the scriptures. Now, we talked earlier on our show on WWCR on 12.160 at 8, or it was 6 Eastern Standard Time. We talked about the fact of the change in the birthright. And it's become tradition for everyone to think that Judah has the birthright and the scepter, and we know that's not true. Well, this is just a little beginning of history to tell you how that this man named Jacob came into this country under a vision and a purpose and a dream and a covenant. And this covenant is still intact today. You see, Yahweh is not a man that he should lie. When he cuts a deal with you, he sticks to his end of the bargain. And we know through history that Jacob, the Bible said that even when this man was in an ancient age, nearing around 100, over 100 years old, and he worshipped leaning on his staff. That's how much faith that he had to reach out by his faith and touch the one that promised through a covenant. And that's our Father tonight. We're so delighted to know that we are part of Jacob Israel, and we're going to try to give you some of the history of the exodus of Jacob and the 12 tribes out of the land of Palestine, and then they were to actually disperse throughout all the world and be a blessing to all the peoples. They were to be multiplied as the sand of the sea. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you go back and look at history in the Palestine, we call it the sandbox for a lack of a better word. It's Palestine. But if you go in there today, there's no prophetic scriptural come to pass where that a seed of Jacob Israel in that area ever multiplied as the sand of the sea. We know through history and through Bible content that Israel was actually evicted. They were removed from the land in 721. We're talking about the 10 northern tribes. Now, since that Benjamin was in the border region, as a buffer, if you will, between the 10 northern tribes and the house of Judah, which is two separate houses here, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. A lot of people don't understand that. And when they talk about Israel, they think about the modern-day country over there in Palestine now renamed Israel. We believe that that's a misnomer. That shouldn't have happened, but it did. And the bulk of Israel is not in that area. They are scattered throughout the earth, and that's our purpose tonight, to give you some historical documentation and some scriptural input out of the context of the word. Praise Yahweh. Now, Genesis 28:10 through verses 14, we find this strange man named Jacob. He was a strange man indeed. He saw visions. He saw angels climbing ladders and things of this nature, and he dreamed strange dreams, and he was an altar-building man. He went out and worshipped his creator, Yahweh. And so if we was to run across this certain individual today in these modern times, we would think probably him being very strange indeed. But he put his head on a pillow on a rock, and then he dreams of a ladder that is ascending and descending with angels ascending and descending upon the ladder to heaven, to earth. And these angels were actually communicating with him. One of them actually wrestled with him as Jacob corralled one of them, you might say, and latched on to him. And that shows you the intestinal fortitude of this great man, Jacob. He was a mighty prophet, by the way. And so then Jacob dreams a dream. And out of this dream comes a vision, a purpose, and a covenant. That's what we're going to talk about. Who is Jacob? Who is his sons? And who has the birthright to actually display to the world in biblical truth? Now, we know that there's a lot of people that call themselves Jews and are not, as we read in the book of Revelations, chapter 2. Let me read you the text here in chapter 2 to show you that there is some that would use deception and call themselves Jews, and in reality, they're not. Now, it's common practice today to, when you refer to Jews, oh, that's God's chosen people. It's almost like an automatic reflex of the man. And so then it goes to show you that so much conditioning of the mind can develop, whether it be true or not. The Bible said there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. So that's what we're going to investigate here tonight. We're going to really get into some scriptural intrigue, and we're going to actually catwalk through the scriptures, if you will, as quick as we can. In verse 9 of chapter 2, Revelation said, I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the dispersed, the sons of Israel, the sons of Jacob, who are supposed to be the head and not the tail. Now, why were we blinded? What purpose, and you know, you hear the old saying that the Christian church teaches today, that it is the Jews that's blinded, and that the Gentiles are to be received in the times of the Gentiles. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's no scripture for that. Really, for that text, we don't know where that came from, but I used to preach it myself, and I guess I taught it because I was told that, or conditioned to think that, and without actually going into scripture and proving all things like the Bible said, we go up and we teach things sometimes that is the same right rather than is right way, praise Yahweh. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, is there a people on the earth today, right now tonight, is there a people on the earth that pass themselves off as Jews or one of the tribes of Israel, and in reality they're not, but they're out of the synagogue of Satan? Well, let's review a little bit of historical documentation here, and all this is provable, that there was a certain sect that is located in around eastern Turkey and in that area, and they were Khazars. They were known as Khazars. In the 7th century B.C., or A.D., I'm sorry, they adopted the Jewish religion. Now, the reason that history says that they adopted this was not so much that they really believed that the Jews' religion was any greater than, say, Islam, which is the Muslim faith, or Christianity. But in a political arena where they were making leagues and covenants, it was more probably more profitable for them to adopt the Jewish religion, and that's exactly what they've done. Now, these same peoples begin to be what we describe as a force to be reckoned with in Europe through the 7th, 8th, 9th centuries. And then we get to the 1000 A.D. mark, and then they sort of, this kingdom is diminished, and they sort of vanish from sight for a while. And now they're known later in Europe as they migrate from the east, they migrate west into Europe and some of the European countries, and they were known as gypsies or vagabonds. They were noted jewelers. They used these trades, these arts, and other things of this nature to make a living. And they were actually driven out of over 16 countries in Europe during this time of the gypsy-like wanderings that they had. These are the same ones that later, using the Jewish religion as a cover, these are the ones that were predominant in returning to Palestine in 1948. They came out of Germany, out of Poland, out of France, out of England, and all of the Western European nations and that area, plumb down into Russia and into Turkey. They came in, they came to what is known as the modern-day Israel in May the 14th, 1948, when they become a nation. The majority of these are Khazars. Now, Khazar has no blood relation to covenant Jacob. Now, let me repeat that. These Khazars have no blood covenant relationship to our father Jacob. So therefore, they are not Jews. And that's what the scripture here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 is actually talking about. I know that you have tried them, or the blasphemy of them. It was blasphemy here according to the scripture, of them which say they are Jews and are not, meaning that their bloodline descendants. See, to be a Jew, or from the tribe of Judah, it's a better word. Jews is, the word Jew is only mentioned in 2 Kings for the first time in 16:6. That's the first time that the word Jew, and it, you find them actually fighting against Israel. So you can say that these are not from the tribe of Judah. They're not bloodline covenanted people. You see, Yahweh covenanted with a bloodline. Only the house of Jacob, only the bloodline of the descendants of Shem, and that's why that these Israelites, these wandering Israelites, were removed from the land in 721 B.C. They were driven out for their disobedience. They were scattered throughout the earth, and the Bible said they would become as the sands of the sea. Now, along about the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th centuries, these peoples were found in various places in the earth. They were Caucasian, and they got this name from actually crossing the Caucasus Mountains as they journeyed down through the Caucasus, over the Caucasus, and into northern Russia and up into the British Isles and then into Western Europe and then finally into America, where we believe that a big majority now of the white Caucasians live that are bloodline covenanted to the sons of Seth and the descendants, as Jacob was himself a descendant of Seth. So these are the peculiar purpose people that Jacob was getting a vision or was dreaming or was entering into a contract, if you will, a covenant with Almighty Yahweh to have the advantage. What is the advantage of Israel? Much in every way. Why? Because to them belong the covenants. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I've always heard that it was the Jews that was blinded, and then God came to the Gentiles. That's what my preacher told me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. There's no scripture anywhere that says the Jews are blinded that I know of. Now, what does the Bible actually say? Well, we go over to Romans 11, 25, 26, and there it is stated that it is Israel that was blinded. Israel went to sleep. That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. Now, Israel has nothing in common at this point with the house of Judah. They are a divided house. They actually warred and separated, and Yahweh moved the 10 tribes out in 721 B.C., approximately, and then around 581-86 B.C., then God, Yahweh, removed the other house, which is the house of Judah. And now the Bible says, in the future, wherever the house of Judah and the house of Israel congregate, ladies and gentlemen, you can rest assured that the prophecy of the Bible will not fail, that God will reunite the two sticks, the house of Judah and the house of Israel, and we'll have a complete 13-tribe assembly. And they will be in harmony for the first time in over 4,000 years. Now, this is amazing prophecy that God will indeed reunite or join the two sticks together, and they will become one stick. That's never happened. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that happened over in Palestine in 1948. No, it did not. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to repeat, and I think the history will bear me out here, that over two-thirds of the peoples that are now converging on Palestine, where we Christians have been made to believe that these are, quote-unquote, God's chosen people regathering in the last days. And the Bible doesn't give you any indication that that's supposed to happen, because he said when he drove Israel out, they were to never return. That he would give them a new Jerusalem, a homeland of milk and honey. Oh my, praise Yahweh, and that's exactly what happened. Now let's go back to the book of Revelation again. As we pick up in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, let's read verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Now again, he's talking about the Jews. The synagogue of Satan. Now who's these Jews? Not Judah now. So when I use the word, I guess I probably should use a word, a substitute, because everybody that believes that the Jews are God's chosen people, they don't really know the difference between Judah and Israel. Because, you see, the house that is now over there is called Israel, and yet they all say they're Jews. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that can't be true, because there's actually 12 tribes, 10 of them were lost to history, and the other two were driven out in exile themselves, and we believe we know where they went to. And we're talking about in the book of Jeremiah, where the good figs, remember they were, Judah was compared to good fig, bad fig scenario, and the father told Jeremiah that the good figs would be taken from the land and exiled afar into the isles. Oh my. And the bad figs would return back from which they came. Now we know the history in the Bible, in 2 Kings, it talks about those that came back in those days actually to resettle the land, as when Jacob, Israel, was removed from the land. It talks about it in 2 Kings chapter 12, 2 Kings chapter 17, Israel is removed, and Judah is removed in 2 Kings 17 and verse 6. Both of them are removed from there, and the prophecy was they were to never return. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is a prophecy that in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, Israel reforms itself. In 2 Chronicles 13, there is a war between Judah and Israel. So you see then the Jews, the house of Judah, which we call Jews today, and we really shouldn't do that. We should examine these bloodline descenders and see if they're actually from the bloodline of Jacob. Are they, in fact, Caucasian? Those that came across the Caucasus Mountains were Caucasian. They were white. And they became the settlers of the Western Europe, the British Isles, and Great Britain became a mighty power almost overnight, and we believe she's the house of Manasseh. Now, we know that British Israelite teachings says that Britain is Ephraim, and that Manasseh is supposedly the United States. We reverse that, and we're going to give you indications here in the next 3 or 4 hours that we have to do the show on Sunday night on the 11 Eastern time slot. We will cover this in detail for you, and I'll go through the reasons why is that Manasseh is Great Britain, and that Ephraim became Ephraim as the United States in their settlement, and now we, Ephraim, the United States, is the most mightiest nation, and that's the prophetic utterance, that Ephraim would be greater than Manasseh. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, at one time, the sun never set on the British crown, and therefore, Ephraim was that promised son blessing that all of the seed of Ephraim settled in Great Britain. Well, that's not true. You see, Ephraim being the younger son, and all of the tribes wandered across the Caucasus Mountains, and they were all converged together, and then they begin to find their place according to the prophecies of Genesis 49 by the great prophet Jacob, as he prophesied, and as it is laid out in the book of Numbers chapter 2, just exactly where these wandering tribes, these Caucasians, would migrate into the earth and there subdue their enemies and there become mighty nations. Now we know for certain that in the circle, the heavenly circle that is described in the book of Numbers chapter 2, that Dan went north. Now in Denmark, it's about as far north as you can get on the compass, into Greenland, Actually, Denmark owns the island of Greenland, the largest island in the world, and Denmark owns that. I was stationed there during the service years, and it's a very remote place, and it seems like that the Caucasians there, they delight in the colder climates. They can tolerate great below zero temperatures where other races have problems. Isn't it strange that the Bible says that Dan shall be in the north? Well, isn't it strange that Judah was to be in the east? She stayed in Palestine and was the last, actually, she was the last one to turn out the lights and leave that sandbox area. And so Judah was encamped in the east. Now, the sun rises in the east, but notice as it goes across, it sets in the west. And there, in the latter years, will the glory of the latter will be greater than the former. Now, what does that mean? That means that actually that the emphasis of glory and power and prestige and honor and the birthright covenant will be exemplified through the house of Joseph, Ephraim. And there, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot of work to do to get there. I realize that. We've got problems in America. We have turned our country, our nation, over to the foxes. And they're in the hen house at this very hour, and they've come to take a spoil. They've come to actually destroy our heritage, as they have done in other places, in other countries, and it's worked like a charm. But notice here in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 27, the priests that were instructed to go down and to teach these foreigners, see, Israel's already left and Judah's already left, but they were requested because the king could not exact any tribute from the land. Yahweh punished the land. Yahweh punished the people and drove them off with wild beasts and drought. And so the people cried out to the king of Babylon and asked him to have these Hebrew priests to come down and teach them how to offer up acceptable sacrifices to appease Yahweh. This was accomplished in the 2 Kings 17, verse 27. You can read it for yourself. We don't have time to go into it tonight as we are going back to the study outline, and we're going to lay a little groundwork, and we're going to build a gestalt, a thought for you as we move into the historical facts and documents along with the collaborating evidence of the scriptures to give you proof that the house of Joseph is the birthright sons, and that the United States, if you look at the New Jerusalem, not the Old Jerusalem, did you know the Bible describes Old Jerusalem, a place where everybody calls a holy place? Do you know what the Bible speaks of it in the book of Revelation? It calls it Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what the Bible, the prophets, the truth, the Holy Spirit, thought about that place that most people are now calling holy and are fighting over the territory. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have problems there, but it won't end the way the world believes it will. They're going to be in for a great surprise because the Bible speaks about the time that the sons of Ishmael shall rise up and break the yoke. And that is due to happen very soon, as we prophesy. And we also know that there is a time of trouble coming according to Jeremiah chapter 30. Now, I'm going to go there to the book of Jeremiah, and I'm going to give you a little prophecy that may enlighten you and change your, actually, it might change your opinion about who the trouble's for. Listen to me as I read. This is 30 and verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that there is none likened unto it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that that prophecy is referring to America and Great Britain and the Western countries where the Caucasians migrated to and have founded. I believe that the white race, known as Caucasians, have now become a minority throughout the world. We are only 10% of the total world's population, and that is diminishing fast. If we don't get a hold of the problem, we are going to become extinct And the Bible says, except these days be shortened, it's the time of Jacob's trouble, except these days be shortened, thou shalt be no flesh of Israel saved. Talking about the flesh of Israel. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, it says, the Bible says, you know, there's going to be a nuclear war, and the earth is going to be blown up, and everybody destroyed on it. That ain't what the Bible said, ladies and gentlemen. It's actually opposite of what it, of what people think. The Bible says that when Christ returns in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the gospel, that they will be eating and drinking and being merry and multiplying, marrying and giving in marriage as it was in the days of Noah. So then you see all of these prophecies that have been taken out of context and turned around and twisted to where people are now afraid for the world when they should be afraid for a race of people that will become as it was in the days of Noah. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you an astounding statistic here. Only 3% of the world's population hold under their charge 97% of the world's wealth. At one time, the United States and Great Britain held the greatest majority of the wealth of the world. That has changed drastically. We are now being drained of all of our natural resources. America is a melting pot for charities throughout the world, and she was designed to be prosperous and to be able to lend to nations. And she's done that and fulfilled all the prophecies that fit Ephraim. However, what that was contingent upon was that the sons of Jacob would operate and rule and reign as our founding fathers when they established the 13 colonies here as the nation of Israel. They actually had it in the contract that we were the sons of Jacob and that we were building a nation, not a people, a government of the people, but a government of Yahweh. In God we trust. We even printed on our money. And yet today, ladies and gentlemen, you can't even say God in a school or in a place of public building. You can't even say a prayer, or you can't hang the Ten Commandments, or you can't address the scriptures in biblical form to keep the commandments. Why? Because we now have the liberal laws passed to where we are separated church and state. Ladies and gentlemen, we should have been a nation of people that feared Yahweh and kept his commandments, and instead we have taken his commandments down. The last 100 years, we have actually, since the Civil War, we have been in a tailspin. And ladies and gentlemen, today, if the Bible says, if these days are not shortened, remember in the time of Noah and his for a seed. Noah was the only one found righteous in his genetics. Now let me repeat that. They were miscegenating, they were race mixing at an alarming rate, and ladies and gentlemen, we have it encouraged in our schools, our homes, and in our public places, wherever we congregate. This is being encouraged throughout the earth. And as I have said, I'm pushing the button on warning our people. We are to be a blessing to all people. We're not to hate or to destroy. We are to be a blessing to all of the nations. Instead of that, we have become the tail and not the head. We are going to doomsday only in a race of people. We're 10% and we're fading fast. We're diminishing. We have now writers, authors, lecturers, and speakers, myself included, that is now pushing the panic button. The alarm is going off around the earth that we are in peril of being diminished as a people of Jacob Israel. And is there a plan underway, ladies and gentlemen? Let's see if it is. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be a time of trouble. Remember, Christ said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking and being merry. So it will not be a nuclear holocaust, ladies and gentlemen, at the end time. It will come upon you unaware. Do not worry about a nuclear holocaust. Oh, yes, there might be limited strikes here and there, wars and rumors of wars. It's prophesied that it would come. Most of these are man-made. It's not because of the Satan doing it. It is the power of man, greed. Greed for money. Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you jerk up evil, you'll find money and certain people hanging on the end of the vine. Ladies and gentlemen, and that's your 3% that holds 97% of the world's wealth in their banks and in their vaults. All of the gold in Fort Knox, if there's any left, probably not enough to fill a tooth in Fort Knox, if the truth is known. In 1933, our famous president, Roosevelt, he asked for and received the majority of all the gold. They confiscated the gold, rounded it up, and now where is it? We were told that it was in Fort Knox, Kentucky, or the lion's share of the gold. Now we know that we are out of gold. We are in debt. Not to our people. It is not our people. We are in debt to the Federal Reserve System, which is not a government organization of the people and by the people and for the people. We are in debt because the Federal Reserve is a conglomerate of international bankers that is charging us interest. And ladies and gentlemen, it has worked like a charm since 1913 when we went into receivership or bankruptcy as a nation. All these are facts that you can check out in your local government agencies and documents to support what Pastor Buddy is saying. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you this scripture in verse 11 of Jeremiah 30. For I am with you, saith Yahweh, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered you, yet not will I make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in for correction. Now, you know what the Bible said about the rod? The rod is laid up for the fool's back. Well, Israel has played the fool. We have gone to sleep, and we know that there is a purpose behind it, a spiritual purpose. And here is the faith and the patience of the saints. Don't get overcharged with suffering and drinking and being rowdy and wanting to go out and kill and maim and hurt. Go to your altar. Pray that the Father will return us to our preeminence and our glory by keeping His commandments. You see, if judgment begins, it must begin at the house of Israel. It doesn't begin with your enemies. If it begins with Israel, it will end in victory over your enemies. Because Yahweh said that He would cause our enemies to bow at our feet and cause them to know that He loves us. Now, notice this, I will correct you in measure and will not leave you altogether unpunished. Oh my, praise Yahweh. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahweh. Don't be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar and your seed. Now, Israel is not in the sandbox, ladies and gentlemen. Israel is scattered into the earth, and I've told you, in the regions of the British Isles and America, and in Western Europe, mainly, where the Caucasian race congregates. And we are now facing extinction if we don't have divine intervention. You see, we've been told to go on the pill, our women, and we have taken our women out of the home, and we've given them a 9-to-5 job in the office complexes, and now the career women of the white upper class and the middle class, now, in pursuing the dream of usury paying, we have a mortgage, a 3-car garage, and a $200,000 mortgage that takes us an eternity and all of our children to pay for. We are actually like blind Samson. We are Israel blind. We're not Jew blind. We're Israel blind. We are blinded because of our transgressions. Yahweh said He would correct us. And then the fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until I have done it, and until I have performed the intents of my heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 24. You shall consider this in the latter days. Ladies and gentlemen, there's prophets raising up now worldwide with a voice, a dedication, and those purposed to preach the everlasting gospel, and then shall the end come. It will be just like it was in the days of Noah. There will be just a few, a remnant. We will be downed as it was, dangerously, perilously, in almost extinction when the Father returns to rescue once again the children of Israel. and you thought that we were going to form some large army and go head hunting. You can't head hunt without Yahweh. You can go to battle with the largest army in the world, but if you don't have Yahweh and His laws and His covenants in your heart, and if you're not performing the laws and the intents of His heart, then you shall run in vain. You shall reap a whirlwind, saith Yahweh. Wait on me, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh. And Yahweh gives them the spirit to them that will obey Him. 30:17, I will restore health unto you. I will heal you. I will heal your wounds, saith Yahweh, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is thine, whom no man seeketh after. Ladies and gentlemen, in 31, notice in 31 and verse 7, for thus saith Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish and praise and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child and her travaileth with child. Together a great company shall return hither. They shall come with weeping and supplication. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a poor, subdued, pitiful Jacob Israel until we reach the altars on our knees to become taller than trees. Guns and tanks and planes will not answer our problem and our dilemma if we don't quit pursuing the almighty quest for the dollar, the love of money. We need to return back to the altars of Yahweh. We need to return back to hear the laws. And then He said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. Praise Yahweh. Notice now, in verse 15, thus saith Yahweh, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they are not. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. Ladies and gentlemen, when Ephraim goes back to the altars, when they bow the knee, and when they seek the God of heaven, when they call upon His name and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then the Almighty will hear from heaven and heal our land. Until then, it will not happen until we do that. Notice this in verse 27. This is a sign of the prophetic times that we're in. And we blame things actually that Yahweh promised would come upon us if we broke His laws, His statutes, and His commandments. And we've went a-whoring now from under Almighty Yahweh. We've quit keeping His Sabbaths. We have quit keeping His festivals and His feasts as He appointed. And we have put everything under the law and said, well, we don't do that anymore. And we've gone to the bell boxes, which is nothing more than falsehood. And we get our ears tickled every Sunday for about an hour and a half, where they fleece our pocketbooks and we go happily on our way thinking that we're doing God a service. Notice in verse 27 of Jeremiah chapter 31, and I will close. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel. Sow, meaning I will intermingle. The word sow is intermingle, to mix. I will mix or intermingle the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to reunite, but not until we are down to where the numbers are insignificant in comparison to the world. We're at 10% of the world's population now, and that's too many. Gideon had 30,000 men. That was too many. And when he was reduced to 300 men, he almost fainted because he said, you expect me to take 300 men and go against 100,000 or more? And Yahweh said, that's right. I want to demonstrate it's not you, Gideon, and the arm of flesh that will deliver you, but it is me and my spirit. And I will teach my people Israel that I sent back home in shame because they weren't worthy to lift the sword in my name. You see, ladies and gentlemen, those 29,700 men that walked back in shame and humility, rejected because Yahweh said, I don't want you fighting in my name. Ladies and gentlemen, his name is above every name, and at the name of Yahweh, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, but the days will come, and it is now, going on, has been for the last 50 years, saith Yahweh, I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of the beast. We are now in perilous times. We are now in the sowing process. We are alarmingly destroying the races. We're mixing to form artificial races, or races that weren't intended to be upon the earth. Now, when Yahweh created everything, he saw it was good. And then he rested. Ladies and gentlemen, I assure you, he hadn't rested since, because the disobedience of his people. Notice the first thing that Satan did. The Bible talked about the seed and the world. The seed is the word of Yahweh. The world are the children of the kingdom. And notice the enemy, while the man that sowed the seed slept. Then the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Notice in the end time, the scenario is that Yahweh will send his angels and gather out of the field all of the tares, bind them in bundles, and burn them. We are in for some exciting times in the days to come. But you rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, everything is on a time track, and Yahweh's in charge, and he hasn't gone to sleep. This locomotive is not going to crash anytime soon. The house of Israel will not be defeated. She shall rise up above it all. For there shall come, as I close my life's text of Scripture, in the book of Romans, as we have been talking about tonight, the book of Romans, chapter 11, as we read the promise, the prophetic promise of deliverance. Chapter 11, and we're going to begin at verse 25. I would not have you, brethren, ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. You see, they'll say the Jews, that God blinded the Jews. See, that's something that we thought it said. That's something that seemed right. But that ain't what the Bible said. It says that blindness is part has happened to Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that changes the equation drastically here. If Israel is blind, then we must return and pray for eyesight. If you can't see your enemy, locate your enemy, and know your enemy, then you don't know how to win a battle. Once you're enlightened, my people in Hosea 4 and 6, he says, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We need to return back to the old-fashioned altars. We need to pray and become Sabbath keepers one more time and return to him with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, I will cause your enemies to be at peace with you. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, we've got our work cut out for us. But notice this, blindness in part has happened to Israel. It hadn't happened to Judah. It's happened to Israel. It hadn't happened just to one tribe. It happened to all 13 tribes. See, Israel is comprised of 13 tribes or 13 nations. And we know where they've gone to, as we're going to demonstrate in our next show. We're going to show you exactly who the birthright sons are and where the promises lay between Judah and Israel. Judah is the tribes that were exiled in 586. Is it true that those that have gone back to what we call the sandbox or Palestine, is it possible that they are not the genuine descendants of Jacob? Is there a chance that the majority there are not related to him in any way under covenant? And if that be true, that the house of Israel is somewhere else, hidden as a rose among the thorns? Well, we'll see, ladies and gentlemen, as time goes on, as we continue this exciting series on who is Ephraim and who is Manasseh. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now the Gentiles, we've been told that we were the Gentiles. But one more scripture as we close in Matthew chapter 10. Listen as we read the scripture. I'll show you that Israel is not Gentiles. You thought they were, but this is some of the trick of the translators. We call them translators, as they have gone about to deceive the very elect. And they have done a marvelous job. Listen as he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. This is 10:5 Matthew. Go not in the way of the Gentiles. but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, don't go to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, ladies, James 1 and 1, the book of James, and gentlemen, listen as I read James 1 and 1. To the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad. The covenant promise of the apostolic fathers was go not to the Gentiles. They didn't go to the Gentiles, for the gospel is to be preached to Jacob Israel. The scattered sheep that were at that time scattered afar. They were scattered throughout the earth, and they were to be multiplied and become as the sand of the sea. But in the latter days, they were to diminish in size as a people, until the time would come, as it was in the days of Noah, when Noah, a descendant of Shem, who later produced the sons of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in perilous times, and perilous times is here. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I've enjoyed it. I've been blessed to be with you tonight. I'm just beside myself. I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel the calls that we need to, in the last days, come together as a people and return back to the old path. And that is our challenge to you tonight. If you would like to know more about the message that the Shepherd's Call is all about, you can contact Pastor Buddy by simply writing to me at Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Now, let me repeat that. New Tazewell. That's N-E-W-T, as in Tom, A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I would like to take your call. If you're listening to me around the globe tonight, I will take your call at area code 423-626-2172 right here in the hills of East Tennessee. Well, I've enjoyed being with you. This message tonight is live. I'm live tonight. This is the 28th day of April, and we look forward to the next coming month, where we'll be in Passover Fellowship May the 25th in Andrews, North Carolina. Join us there in Fellowship Feast of the Second Passover. We keep the second. The first one should be going on right now, but we will be keeping the second one coming up in May of the 25th day of May. Just about 1 month from now, we'll be in Fellowship of the Passover. We believe these are the things that's necessary to come back into obedience, which is better than sacrifice. You can give your life, but can you give your heart? That's a challenge to you, ladies and gentlemen. Can you build an altar? Can you pray? Can you fast? A lot of people want to curse. They want to kill and maim and hurt. But ladies and gentlemen, the message and the challenge is, are you man enough to humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways? Then if you are, Yahweh will hear from heaven, and he will heal you, and he will fill you with the joy of the Spirit and give you hope that he still rules in the heavens. Well, we're going to have to get off tonight. Praise Yahweh. I've enjoyed being with you. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Tune in 5 nights a week. We're there 5 nights a week. Yahweh bless you is my prayer, and bless you, Jacob Israel.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Faith Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this family station. Praise Yahweh.